في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا محافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكن من قلبك كرماه وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
May Allah تبارك وتعالى make this majlis of ours a majlis of ma'rifa, a majlis of learning, a majlis of ilm. And may be as such that the distance between us and Allah reduces. Tonight is the night of Qadr, and the last Qadr of this month of Ramadan. We ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala not to make this month the last month of our life, more opportunities to be given so that we can witness benefit from these nights and days for years to come. Tomorrow, it's the last Friday of this sacred month and is also known as the Day of Quds. If you look into the whole idea of this Quds or the whole idea of the Islamic revolution, it is an explosion of noor, explosion of light. The rules that have been laid, the ahkam that were laid by this waliullah, are all based on wahi. May that be this Quds issue. May that be that ittihad issue between the brothers in the Muslim world, all that is based on wahy. Now this concept of quds, so long as it's been there for the past 6-7 decades, but nothing was happening. It all gained that might and weight only when a waliullah steps in. That is, when a noble person steps in, the whole issue becomes a global issue, an issue which gains weight. The same thing is with this issue of ittihad that we have, unity between the Muslim world. If you look into the history, and that is the last few days of the life of the Holy Prophet, there we find that Jibreel, once he comes to the Holy Prophet and says that, I want you and Ali to be here, everyone else should leave the house. And then a message is given from Allah through Jibreel to the Holy Prophet. And then after that, two messages are given to Amir al-Mu'mineen. The first message, when it is given to Amir al-Mu'mineen, is he does become a little bit upset. And then says, the instructions to you, Ali, after the Holy Prophet, is that you have to be patient. Although you are right, your haq, that is imamat, the khilafat, it will be seized away from you. Because to safeguard the unity and ittihad among the nation of Rasulullah, you will have to be quiet. He says, okay. The second message, when it is given to him, this strong, mighty existence, he collapses. And that is, he says that after the Prophet, Zahra, she will be hurt. Still, you have to be patient, so that this nation of Rasulullah remains intact. So this ittihad issue again that we have, this is something which is based on this wahi, on these revelations, sayings of Allah and Ma'sumeen alayhim salam. The same thing is with Quds. In a hadith, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, Kuffar, they are serious in their kufr. You don't take your faith as a joke. You also have to be smart, you have to be strong in your iman. When it comes to opposing wilaya, it's a serious crime, it's a serious issue. When we say wilaya, it starts from the wilayat of Allah as we see in Ayatul Kursi, Awliya Allah, Awliya Al-Tawud. The next step down is the Wilayat of the Holy Prophet. Again, the Wilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Again, the Wilayat of all of the A'imma. Then comes the Wilayat of a Faqih. Then the Wilayat of a Mujtahid. Comes the Wilayat of a father over his children. Wilayat of an alim in the community. So on and so forth. All these different types of Wilayat that we have. Each one plays an important part. An opposing Wilayat, it has serious consequences in this world that a person sees. An example was mentioned day before yesterday in the Masahib of Amir al-Mu'mineen that Qutam, who used to be the Miss Kufa of that time, the most beautiful girl who everyone wished to marry, because of her beauty, her charm, when she stands against Wilaya and instructs Ibn Muljam to kill or becomes part of that entity of oppression, that charm of hers is gone. Because of that opposition with Wilaya. Or for example, Marhum Ayatullah Bahauddini says that during the time of Ayatullah Al-Uzma Muhammad Taqi Shirazi, who gave the fatwa of abandoning tobacco against the British Empire, an alim stands against this person, this nobleman. He curses him. As a result of that, his wish and desire was that his children also become ulama. None of them become ulama, but they die. Result, consequences of opposing wilaya. The same thing is, if children, they stand against their parents, especially the father. Because the father has a wilaya on his daughters, on his sons. Now these girls or those boys, if they stand against the father, maybe they might not see any consequences in the near future, but in the long run there is a devastation which is waiting them. And also on the contrary, you find that if a person embraces wilaya in all of these different stages, including the wilaya of a father, of a mother, respects them, it was mentioned repeatedly that if we are obedient to these wilayat, the first thing is that we have respected the Imam of time, first and foremost, and then we have respected our parents. Because it is his teaching, it is his wilayat. So if a son respects his father, first of all he has respected the Imam of time, then he has respected his father. Or if mu'mineen in the community, they respect each other, it's the same. First, they have respected the imam, because these mu'mineen are the franchise of the imam. Then he has respected that mu'min. So it works that way. And again, if you look into the benefits which a person gets, that is, by accepting these different types of wilayat, especially parents, because the whole thing starts with parents. If we are good to them, it's easier to be good to the levels on the top. If we are bad to them, then the top levels, definitely they are a failure. A person, he comes to the sacred shrine of Aba Abdullah and Hussein, alayhi salatu wassalam. And says that I came into the shrine, I wanted to enter to say the ziyarat. Now it is a custom, or it is that sunnah, the teaching that when you enter the shrine of Ma'sumin, you have that entrance permit, Izna Dukhul. You recite that, asking Allah, the angels, the Prophet, the A'imma, to grant you the permission to enter that haram. And the sign given to us is that if your heart breaks, or if a tiny tear drops off your eye, that is permission granted, you can enter. Says that I came to the shrine, I saw that a young lad has come from the other door, and over here Aba Abdullah al-Hussein has come out welcoming that young lad into his haram. He says, I was shaken at seeing this vision, that is, that young boy entering from the other side, Imam from here, welcoming that boy. He runs to the boy and says, what is that I saw? How is this? He says, this has been with me for ages, that every Thursday when I come to pay a respect, that is, a ziyarat to Aba Abdullah, I come from this door, he welcomes me from the haram, from inside. He in person comes and welcomes me. Says, why and how did this happen? Says, I have parents, both of them very old. And it is as such that I have just one animal, one donkey, that could be a ride. And that ride can take just one person, either the father or the mother, and I walk and come to all the way to Karbala. Says, so that it is, they are equally given the opportunity. 1 week the father comes, the next week the mother comes. Now it was the turn of the father. The mother says, son, take me to Karbala tonight. He says, but it's the father's turn, and the animal cannot take two rides. She says, don't regret. It may so happen that you may regret next week. Take me tonight. Now for the sake of the mother, he carries the mother himself, father on the donkey, all the way from his home to Karbala, he comes to the shrine of Aba Abdullah. Says, from that day, for that service I provided to my mother, that was the attitude of the Imam. Every week he welcomes me. So that is these wilayat, that if we are good to our parents, but now all this a lesson to myself first, to you a reminder. So if we are good to them, it's easier to be good to the Imam of time. One of the other issues is tolerance, hell, that we have to be tolerant. Tolerating each other, it's tough, especially nowadays and in this day and age and in this country, it is very tough. So neither the children tolerate the parents, nor the parents tolerate the kids. Husbands, they never tolerate wives. Wives don't tolerate the husbands. So there is this saying which says that ilm a person may possess, knowledge says hell you have to possess, you must. If you look into the du'as that we have, whenever the ilm has been mentioned, hell also has been mentioned besides it. Ilm, knowledge, hell, tolerance. Ilm, without hell, it's of no use. And if you want to know that whether or not we are on the right track, on the right direction, that is, the hand of the Imam is on our heads, if you possess ilm, you must possess hell. If tolerance does not exist, then know for sure that we are not on the right direction. To be on the right direction, we have to be tolerant. We have to be tolerant. We have to tolerate each other. Husbands must tolerate wives, no matter how bad they are. Wives must tolerate the husbands, no matter how evil they are. The same thing is with the kids. Another reminder, when it comes to the community, it is tough to tolerate each other. You might find some people, they are a bit, maybe, out of control, so tolerating them also becomes tough. And another reminder in the Amal of tonight, that in a congregation, in a jamaat, all these emergency rules apply. So maybe when it comes to your own time, when you were saying your Maghrib and Isha prayers, maybe there was a set of Amal which you used to do after prayers, before prayers, in your prayers, tasbih, azkar, so on and so forth. Now because it's this month and we've got a large crowd over here, we take these emergency rules and do the namaz in quite a fast track. So over here, although we had all those intentions to do that, Allah says, I will waive and give you the reward much more than that because of that congregation. So much more is given. When it comes to women, due to the tasks they have at home, they wish quite a lot to be done, but they are deprived many a times. It's the young children they have to look after, it's their own schedule, it's all these issues of taharat, etc. All the cooking, cleaning, there's a lot in their plate, a heavy, big burden. The Prophet says that, Masjidul Madinah, if for example she had intended to say her prayers in, for example, Masjidul Haram, but due to the program she has at home, she cannot do it. Rasulullah says, she says her prayers at home, she will get the reward of Masjid al-Haram. That is how it works. When it comes to the congregation, again, these emergency rules apply. When it comes to the counting of azkar, maybe it may well so happen that as a few are left and the tasbih hasn't been completed. Now the beautiful idea over here is that now someone who is counting them correctly, and if he finds that there are a few missing in the tasbih, and this is how businessmen, they make money. That they don't invest anything, they gain a lot. Say over here again, it's the same thing. If there are a few missing in the tasbih, just intend that Allah, now this missing gap over here, I will make it up from the congregation, qurbatan ilayk, and you just make it up. So you will get the reward of whatever is lost in that congregation. And even if you don't do it, it's already done. So in congregations, that is what happens. Tolerance. We have to tolerate each other. No matter how bad another person is, we have to tolerate. And if we could tolerate each other, we can guarantee that we are on the right direction and the support of the Imam of time is there. So this is one issue. Now, we have all got together on this night of Badr, which is designated to the Imam of time. And this night, it's the night of the Imam. The policy of waiting, why do we wait for the Imam? When we define Imam, who is the Imam? What is the description we give for the Imam? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given a hujjah. Hujjah meaning argument, meaning a proof. Now this hujjah, it's of two types. A hujjah in ourselves, a hujjah in the open. The hujjah in the interior, it's that soul, that heart of an individual, or that nature which a person possesses. Hujjah in the open, in the outer world, it's the Imam, it's the Quran, it's the Prophet. All these are the hujjah, the arguments of Allah in the open. If to benefit from that hujjah, which is the Imam, to benefit from that hujjah, which is Quran, we have to prepare ourselves. That is, that hujjah, which is inside us, that has to be programmed so that it becomes compatible with the hujjah which is in the outside world, which is Quran, which is the Imam, which is the Prophet. Or in other words, if this hujjah in the interior, this argument inside us, if that is not prepared, there will be no bias of the hujjah in the open, in the exterior. That is, if we want them to be accepted, we have to prepare ourselves. That is, to buy that hujjah in the outer world, this hujjah in the inner world, it has to be prepared. Otherwise, that hujjah is going to go waste, and this inside us is also going to go waste. So for the two not to go waste, we have to prepare ourselves. So this hujjah, which is in the outer world, which is the Imam, which is Quran, that has to be accepted by ourselves, by this fitrat which is inside us, the heart and the soul, so that we can benefit from it. When it comes to describing and defining the Imam of time, again over here we've got different descriptions that people have. Some have a very poetic and an ashiqana description of the Imam, and they say, and this is something which is given to others. Now when we come to educate people about the Imam, describe and define the Imam, it should be in a way that people, they benefit. People, they are not misled. Or for example, when they define Abul Fazl al-Abbas alayhi salam, the picture shown of him or the Imam of time, strong person, blue eyes, blonde hair, curly hair, very fair, very strong, big arms, all these are the descriptions that are given about the Imam or for example Abul Fazl alayhi salam. Now all that is, we don't deny, we don't reject, that is true. But that is not the description and the definition that is being given to him. Because the riwayat that we have, they say that Mahdi Ta'us Ahl al-Jannah, he is the most beautiful or the peacock of the dwellers of the paradise. Or some say that the beauty of Yusuf was such that most of the women in Egypt, when they saw him, they cut their hands. Now what will happen to them when they see the Imam of Time? That is what we find in Riwayat. So the beauty which he has is second to none. The miracles which he possesses, they are second to none. All the prophets possessed, he possesses. All the might which everyone had, he has. All the beauty which everyone had, he has. Now all this is a description of the Imam which we have. That is the first phase how people define the Imam. The second description that we have for the Imam is that this beauty, in addition to that, all wisdom, and that is he will govern, he will rule with justice, and that is how he will be ruling on this earth, governing on this earth. The third description is the first description plus the second with wisdom, with justice, and then in addition to that, those who are following him again tone themselves or make themselves compatible to whatever his desires, his aims are. That is, with all that beauty, with all that might, with all that justice, with all that equity, all that governing abilities which he has, plus whatever he has in him, I try to be a reflection of his. That is the third definition. Again, when it comes to defining Imam, in politics he is second to none. In taking the charge of affairs, he is second to none. In every field, he has a say. He has to have a say. That is our belief. If an Imam doesn't have a say in an issue, then he is not an Imam. He has to find you a solution in every affair. No matter what problem you may be having, the Imam has to have a solution for that in every field, because he is the Imam. So, that's one. When our understanding regarding the Imam increases and we knew him, his love also grows in our hearts. So when this love to the Imam, that is, or to the Ma'sumeen, it flourishes in our heart, whatever they say is what we deserve. Or as it was mentioned earlier, that when ilm also increases. If I just have that knowledge and ilm doesn't increase, it means that ilm is of no use. So whenever that ilm is there, tolerance also has to be besides it. And if that is not there, we find that we are not on the right direction. This is on one side. If in a person ilm exists and ilm is absent, then you would find that it's easier for that individual to fall into traps of sins. If that tolerance does not exist in me, for me it's going to be easier to go towards wrong, towards haram, to sin, etc. Now this is something which we can judge and analyze ourselves, that if that tolerance doesn't exist, the first steps of the not tolerating each other is those swear words that come up, that rage which comes up, that fight, those quarrels, and everything, all this is that contamination, all that sins. So not tolerating would end up in all those sins. There was a phone call yesterday. A lady, she called. She was crying on the phone, complaining, moaning about her husband. And she was an old lady. Crying quite a lot. And then all of a sudden I said, "At this age, ma'am, are you looking for a new husband?" She said, "Hey, beta, agar koi mazedar cheez khaye, to dobara bhi khane ko jee chahta. Agar pehli baar mein usko koi sadi hui cheez mile to wo kab." And then
translation.
Muhammad Ali Muhammad Salman.
She called yesterday and she was an elderly. She was crying, complaining of her husband, and all of a sudden I said to her that, "Ma'am, in this age are you looking for a new husband?" And she said that if I ate something which is tasty, then I would like to eat it once again. But for the first time, if I was given something which is rubbish, I go for a second bunch of it, never. And then she said, the reason why I called you is I just wanted to speak to you so that I could relieve myself. Otherwise, second husband I don't want. One of the names that we have for the Holy Prophet given in the Quran is that Ozonun. Ozon means ear. So the kuffar, they used to come and mock the Prophet saying that he just listens and listens and listens to people. Now that listening is good, because people, they just get relieved. So many a times you don't need to invest, many a times you don't need to do anything, a lot. Just when you listen to the problems that people are facing, that is a solution itself. That is again another applicable of that tolerance. So we have to tolerate each other. And one of these visions, one of the noble men that we have, one of the Urafa, it's Sheikh Ansari Hamadani. And then he says, a person comes to him and says that, is it possible to see the Imam of time? He in reply says that, you can meet Allah, who is the creator. Imam, he's a humble servant of Allah. Why can't you meet him? Now to understand this, look into the sayings of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says that a God who I cannot see, I won't worship. So that is again something of a higher level. We have faith in the Imam who is unseen. We haven't seen him. It is not as such that whatsoever you see, you have a stronger faith in it. No. Many a times, in issues which are unseen, we have a stronger faith than the issues that are seen. Was it not as such that during the time of the Holy Prophet and the A'imma, day in, day out, people came and they said, show us a miracle, show us a miracle. Miracles were shown to them. Did they have faith? Never. So things that are seen, never, or most of the time, people don't go, don't accept it, or that yaqeen doesn't exist in it. So, having faith in the unseen, it's stronger. We have faith in the Imam, who is unseen, who is ghaib, that is strong. And those, again, waiting for the Imam of time, they are again of three types. As it was mentioned, the description that is given for the Imam is of three types. Those who are waiting for the Imam also are of three types. First of all, those who are waiting for the Imam, they look for a gathering where they can see the effects of the Imam. For example, this gathering over here. Many, they come so that they find some type of an effect that Imam has left behind as an attachment to that effect, which is related to the Imam. Some are of a higher level. They don't go after effects. They say that wherever, whatever they see is the effect of the Imam. Now what do we mean by the effect of the Imam? For example, if you go to a cinema and watch a movie, and you bring the same movie and watch it at home, you find it's more interesting and more tempting when you saw it in the cinema. The film is the same film, what is the difference? In the cinema, the layout is different, the cooling, the heating, the seating, and then the sound system, it's so different. It's all these effects that make, that bring about that attraction in that movie, which are lacking at home. A majlis where people get together to remember the Imam, it has a charm in it, it has an attraction in it. It has an effect in it, and that effect, you can't say that it is the speaker. You can't say it's the orator. No, it's the reciter, nothing. Effect is something which is given by the Imam. It's an attraction, like a magnetic attraction, which is created in that majlis by the Imam. Many a times you find that you rush to a place that you want to be part of that gathering. Many a times you did not want to come, but you find that you ended up in that gathering. How come all these arrangements are made somewhere else? It is that attraction that is by the Imam. And many a times you find that all these are excuses. Reality is to feel the presence of the Imam. We get to a majlis. So that is that first criteria, or the first definition we can find that people are waiting so that they feel the effect of the imam in all these different scenarios. Sometimes you find that they see the effect, but for them a certain specific place is not required. Now we come here because we are of these, the weak category or the economy class mu'mineen. So we come to a place so that that effect is seen, and that effect can be seen here, we come here. But those of a higher level, for them it doesn't matter. They come here, they go, wherever they go they find the effect of the imam. An example was mentioned the other day from Marhum Atullah al-Uzma Bahauddini. He comes to the shrine of the 8th imam, sits in the yard, recites Ziyarat Aminullah. When his students said that we have to go inside to recite, in reply he says that, is it not as such that when you come to pay a visitation, a ziyarat, that is presence of a mazur, of a zair, by mazur, by the person, by the imam. So you've come to the shrine, that's it, you are there. That's his opinion, because for him distance doesn't matter. Students who are of a lower level, they say, no, we have to go by the zari, stand and recite. So that is a lower level. Of those of a higher level, they say, no, distance doesn't matter. Everywhere what that we have, it's the effect of the imam. That is the second batch. The third batch, they are those, whatever they find in this world, they find and see the presence of the imam. So much so, now these people who are on ventilators, on life support machines, you give that life support so that he breathes. They feel that every breath they breathe without that life support system, they say our life support is the imam. The food, the sustenance, the drink that is given to us, that is provided directly from the imam. That is another higher level, a higher batch. We have riwayat. A riwayat says that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that the food, the drink, the rizq that is provided to the entire creation of Allah today, it is the sadaqah of the head of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein that is given to them. That is through the imam, from the imam. That is the higher level that people are. Now we have to be someone who feels the presence of the imam at all time. In that dua, Adida, we read بِيُمْنِهِ رُزِقَ الْوَرَىٰ, that is, it is by the presence of the imam, the creation they are fed, everyone. Angels, they are all in the service of the imam. Tonight when we say that تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا, that the angels, they descend, the spirit, it descends on the pure heart of the imam. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرِ. مِنْ means from. مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرِ means with every issue, every affair. Of every individual present in this creation of Allah, the tasks, the affairs of every person is brought forth to the imam for him to sign it. So when we witness this night, which is Laylatul Qadr, for our benefit, for our world, for our dunya, for our akhirah, for whatsoever we want, we ask him to sign it. So we have to have that wish list open to put everything in there. So that bond has to be there with the imam of times. The more we have, the more we benefit. An example that could be mentioned over here for this bond issue or the relationship issue. Many a times you find that cousins, they resemble each other. This resemblance is known as abdal. Sometimes you find that people, they resemble the imam so much that that resemblance of the imam is seen on in that individual. That many a times people, they say that we love to go to see him because we find the effects, the fragrance of the imam in him, for example. So that is that resemblance a person possesses. Now in this resemblance, an example is Uwais Qarani. Among the great personalities, the ashab of the Holy Prophet, who never saw the Prophet, not once. He was living in the southwest of the Arabian Peninsula. The Prophet was in Mecca or in Medina. Not once did he see, and the reason for him not being able to see the Prophet was that he had an old ill mother and he couldn't take her all the way there, nor could he move, nor could he leave her alone. For that reason he stayed there with the mother and never got an opportunity to see the Prophet. Now two incidents from the life of Uwais Qarani. One is that once all of a sudden his tooth broke, his mouth was bleeding. No one found out how his tooth broke. And the historians, they say that when they calculated the day when and the moment his tooth was broken, it was exactly the same moment when Rasulullah in the battle of Uhud, he got wounded, his tooth broke. That is that strong connection. That is because of that love which he possessed. Whatever happens to the main server happens to him. Whatever happens to the Prophet happens to him. And the second incident is that when Rasulullah is in the deathbed, in his last moments, he becomes breathless. He cannot breathe. Comes and says to his mother, "Mother, I can't breathe. It seems as if I am dying." But he doesn't die. Allah retains him, keeps him alive so that he could serve Amirul Mu'mineen. That is that ilham, that is that love, that connection which he has, that strong love with the Prophet of time, that whatever happens to him as well. So someone of this caliber, that is he possesses a yaqeen in the existence of Rasulullah and has not seen the Prophet. There have been people who saw the Prophet but never had yaqeen in him. There were people who came to the Prophet and they said, "Show us a miracle and then we will be with you." They never had faith in him. Now there is this miracle that is reported in the books of Christians and Jews. They say that they came to the Prophet and said, "Ya Rasulullah, this tree over here, if you could move it, we'll have faith in you. We'll embrace." He moved the tree, that is the miracle which took place, that huge big tree. It wasn't uprooted, it was intact, but it moved from its place. The tree moved, but they never moved. They saw the miracle, but that yaqeen did not exist. So this is how people did exist at that time, but they never had faith. Or during the time of the 8th Imam, Riza alayhi salatu was salam, it was a drought and there wasn't any rain, no water. And then Mu'mineen, they requested, "Let's go and request Imam to have the namaz-e-istisqa. That is, if he comes and prays so that the rain falls, we have some rain." Imam comes, has this dua, and upon the dua of the Imam, there is a shower, rainfall. Now this person in the court of Ma'mun, la'natullah alayh, he says to the Imam that he wanted to mock the Imam. Says, "I heard you prayed, as a result of your prayers, it rained. Can you tell me how does it rain?" And then Imam starts explaining to him, it's this process of evaporation, condensation which takes place. It's that chemical reaction which takes place and then the clouds, they burst and then the rain falls. And then in reply he says, now he wants to mock the Imam. His intentions are to insult the Imam. And then he says that, "Where does this dua of yours fall in this description of the rainfall? Can you tell me?" Imam, there was a rug hanging in that court of Ma'mun. There was a huge big lion drawn on it. Imam points out at the lion, says, "Come, eat him to the last bit of him and then go back to your place." That lion comes out, eats that mal'oon who was mocking the Imam to the last bit, goes back to its place. So that they saw the miracles with their own eyes but never accepted, never embraced. So all these things, they did exist in the past. Now the very near companions to the Prophet, they never asked that, "Rasulullah, show us a miracle." They never. We don't have one incident where Salman said, "Rasulullah, I want to have faith in you, show me a miracle." He never said that. Abazar never said that. the sincere, those who were so close, they never did that. Now all those who were distant and far away in their faith and aqeedah, they always were after those miracles. Or for example, we believe that when the Imam comes, the judgment of the Imam is going to be different. Or the riwayat, they say that his judgment is going to be bihukmi Dawoodi, that is by revelation. It's not going to be this plaintiff and defendant business that we have today. He will judge by wahi, by revelation. And whatever is judged by the Imam, it is not as such that he sees only the time which the plaintiff and the defendant, they have come to the Imam. Says he sees generations to come, and he sees generations that have passed, and then he rules out. That is how the Imam is going to judge. Now, if we look into how those who have not seen the Imam, yet have that yaqeen in Imam, to them, riwayat, ma'sumeen, the Prophet, they have talked so loud. For example, the Holy Prophet says that, God, make me meet my brothers. And the companions who were present with the Prophet, they say that, are we not your brothers, Ya Rasulullah? Rasulullah says, no, you are not my brothers, you are just my companions, my ashab. And then he says, my companions are the people of the end of time, who will have faith in me, who haven't seen me. Who will have faith in this book, who will have faith in that Imam who is ghaib, and who they haven't seen. Those are my brothers. Or for example, in that birth certificate of the of Abu Abdullah, and saying that Allah speaks so loud about these people who are waiting for the Imam, who haven't seen him, who have faith in that ghaib, says that ulaika awliya'i haqqan, that those who are waiting for the Imam of time, they are my friends, that they are my awliya, that is the awliya of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now with this idea, with this concept that we have, that is having faith in God who is unseen, having faith in Qiyamah which is unseen, having faith in an Imam who is ghaib, who is unseen, and with all that yaqeen we have in, Imam supports definitely, that is our aqeedah. It is impossible that he does not support, it is impossible. A few of those criteria and the conditions were mentioned, that you have knowledge, top it up with tolerance, Imam's support is there, definitely. If you have knowledge, don't have tolerance, then definitely know that we are not in the right direction. That tolerance has to be there. No matter how bad a person is, we have to learn to tolerate each other, to live with them. Or for example, this Islamic state that we have in this world, it's 32 years now. How come it has sustained for this much time? Is it wise to say that there is no support of the Imam over there? It's impossible. Impossible. Now these little centers that we have everywhere, if a little hiccup takes place in the board, for example, or something goes wrong in the sound system, something goes wrong in the refreshments, it's a chaos. Everything becomes a mess. How come this state with 80 million people living in it, the entire world against it, all these sanctions for the past 32 years, it has survived? How? If there isn't a support from the Imam, it is impossible to survive. It is impossible to survive. Now you can look into, now running a home, it's so difficult. If you have kids that who start growing up, it becomes difficult for us to handle that one house with 4 or 5 members in it. Now handling a state with 80 million people in it, all different types of people, all these different issues, and on top of that, an enemy who wants to gobble and finish everything. How is it that it has survived? That is an issue we have to look into. One example that can be mentioned over here is that Marhum Ayatullah Naimi, he says that during that 8-year war, after all there were Muslims being killed on this side, again Muslims being killed on the other side, he says, I have a tawassul in Masjid al-Kufa. I cry, I plead that Imam do something. After all, it's a massacre of mu'mineen on the both sides, regardless of who is right, who is wrong. And then he says, I have a vision, I see the map of Iran and Iraq open before me. And then he says, I see there is a wall which separates the two countries. And this wall is on the brink of a collapse, falling down. Then he says, I saw a hand which is holding that wall like that. That was the hand of the Imam. And then he says, will I let it collapse? Will I let it fall? A headquarter which is belonging to the Imam of time, that will never collapse, that will never fall. This is our faith, this is our qeedah, that is our dignity, that is our honor. That is a headquarter of the Shias, will that collapse? Will Imam let it collapse? بِيُمْنِهِ رُزِقَ الْوَرَى. That is, it is through him the creation is fed. Now will they leave the mu'mineen aside? Quran says, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. That Allah, for mu'mineen, he has a special share of mercy. Now will he not have a special share of mercy over here? For mu'mineen, there is a special share. And again over here. Now we have an Imam who is so kind, who looks after us in that way. Marhum Kaffash, he says that, I come to Masjid-e-Jamkaram, thousands of people over there worshipping. And then he says, I had a cup of water in my hand, and the Imam of time also is with me. Now he is one of those people who benefits from the presence of the Imam a lot, at least once a week. And in one of these visions which he has with the Imam, Imam says, if you don't see me, what will happen? He says that if I don't see you, I will die. And then Imam says, because of that faith you have in me, that is why I see you. That is, the thirst has to be in us for him to be with us. Unless we want him sincerely, he won't come. We have to have that thirst in us. We have to have that desire that we want the Imam. He says to the Imam, Imam says to him, all these people over here, thousands present in this masjid, says, all of them have needs, all of them have hajat, says, but none of them want me as much as you want that little cup of water to quench your thirst. Imam says this to him. So there is a problem in us. Unless we fix that problem, we won't be able to benefit from him. Although his inayat, his favors are there in the hidden. But we want that to be in the open. We want to see that. We want to benefit from that. A question may come to your mind, that is Imam aware of us? Now all these examples were mentioned. He is definitely aware of us. He knows what is happening. Quran says that قُلْ اَعْمَلُوا فَسَيَّرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلُكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Do as you wish, whatsoever you want. Why? Allah is watching you. Rasul is watching you. Mu'mineen, some of them are watching you. So when mu'mineen who are lower than the Prophet and the Imams, they can watch. Can Imam not watch? There is a CCTV connection between us and him, which is a live broadcast, and he sees what exactly is happening everywhere. In our books of Ahadith, we have a chapter named as Babu Arzil A'mal. That is, the actions, the A'mal of an individual, they are presented before the Imam. Some Ahadith say that it is once a week. Some say twice a week. Some say once in a day they are presented before the Imam. Some riwayat say it's twice a day they are presented before the Imam. Based upon this ayah says that it is before the Imam all the time. He sees exactly what is happening now. He is happy upon seeing our performance if it was good, and he gets upset when he sees the performance of ours if it was bad. There is a hadith which says that Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, she, when she sees the wrong performance of ours, she puts her head down, she cries and says that this she of mine, he or she defamed me once again. In Ziyarat al-Yasin, which inshallah we will recite tonight. We say that Allah, antamla'a qalbi noor al-yaqeen. Make it as such that this heart of mine, it is filled with the light of yaqeen, light of certainty. And that is in the existence of Allah, in the existence of the Imam. Or for example, وَمَوَدَّتِي نُورَ الْمُعْلَمُ. And this love that I have to the Imam, God, make it as such that this mawadda, this love of mine, becomes as clear as that noor, enlighten it. Now this love that we have with the Imam, this bond and devotion that we have with him, in the same ziyarat, in Ziyarat Jami'ah, says that بِمُوَالَاتِكُمْ عَلَّمَنَا اللَّهُ مَعَالِمَ دِينِنَا. That when I love the Imam, it is not as such that I just love him. Muwalat in Arabic, it comes from the verb mufa'ala. Mufa'ala, in that action takes place in a reciprocal way. That is, if I love the Imam, Imam also loves me. That is muwalat. Says bimuwalatikum, by this love that I have to you, the Imam, says what happens is, allaman Allah ma'alima deenina. Allah will teach me all that what I need to learn from this religion. So by loving the Imam, that is the immediate effect that we get. Plus, وَأَصْلَحَ مَا كَانَ فَسَدَ مِن دُنْيَانَا. And everything that is wrong in us, in our performance, says that Allah will correct that also as a result of this love that we have with the Imam of time. A person comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen and says that Amir al-Mu'mineen finds him pale. Imam says that, why are you so pale? He said that, I am in pain, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Then Imam said that, in your joy, I am happy. In your grief, I am sad. When you get hurt, I pray for you. When you pray, I say, Ameen. That is, we have A'imma, we have Ma'sumeen that are so close to us in every aspect that whenever we feel the pain, they are there. Again, it was mentioned yesterday that we have to have that hope in Allah. And in this dua that we recite during the nights of the sacred month, which is dua Abu Hamza, there is a phrase in there which says that inna lana fika raja'an 'azima, that Allah, we have a lot of hope in you, a lot of hope. Now the actions that we have, they have no weight, nothing at all. All that we possess is that hope in the existence of Allah. Things that are done based upon that ayah, based upon all these riwayat that were just quoted, they are being monitored and they are safe and secure before the Imam. An example, the khadim of marhum Ayatullah Mirza Muhammad Hussain Shirazi, among the ulama of the past century, he says that a person comes to his office and says that, I want to meet Ayatullah Mirza Muhammad Hassan Shirazi. He says, okay, let him come in. He comes in and says that, I have been instructed to come to you for you to give me 20 gold coins. And then he is given a sign, and that is that a proof, and that is you on your way back from Hajj, when you were coming to Najaf, you stopped in Sham, in the sacred shrine of Hazrat Zainab alayha salam, and you cleaned that shrine with marhum Awaykani. This is the proof. Based upon this proof, I'm asked to take 20 gold coins from you. He says that, how did you come here? And the sign that you are giving to me, no one ever knew. How it happens is that, he says, I went for Hajj. I lost everything. I had some money which I was in need of. And then I go to the Kaaba. There I start pleading and crying, asking Allah to help me. And then he says that, I found someone next to me. Say that, go to you, get that money from you. And the proof to give you is that you went, you stopped in Sham, and you cleaned the shrine of Hazrat Zainab with your friend, Marhum Kareem. He says that no one knew that. And how it happened that when he was coming, returning from Hajj, they stopped in Sham, they come to the shrine and they find that it's a bit messy. It hasn't been cleaned for some time. They couldn't find any brooms to sweep the place, to dust it. They clean it with their own abba. They sweep, and all that rubbish that was collected was taken in that abba of this Sayyid and that Shaykh, and it was thrown away. No one was present in that haram, no one saw it. Now the proof given by this person to take those 20 gold coins is that incident. And then he says, who said that to you? Said, a person met me by Kaaba, said, I am Sayyid Mahdi. Tell them that they came to my aunt's shrine, and there that's what they did. And then they find out the Imam of time, whenever a person is in need, whenever he gets to a dead end, he is on the watch out. He makes all the arrangements, no matter what they are. We ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on a night like tonight, which is the night of the Imam of time, to enlighten us so that we know him, so that yaqeen which ought to be in our hearts is strengthened on a night like tonight. If you look into the tragedy of Karbala, it's amazing that if you are hurt, for example, a pin is poked, we just shake so much. The stronger the wound, the more the pain, the more the shaking a person has. Says on that day of Ashura, the only person that has remained is Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. And the reporters, they say that hundreds of wounds are present in his body. About 900 odd wounds they have counted. They say a person with all those wounds should be so much restless and all that. With those wounds, says there is no motion in him when Shimr, he places that dagger on the throat of Abu Abdullah. Why? What was the reason for that? They say maybe that the mother was standing by the son and he did not want to hurt her by shaking and trembling on that day. Imam, when he arrives, he resembles, his voice resembles the voice of the Imam, that is Abu Abdullah. Says that if the call is heard on the 23rd, that is that nida, that divine call, that I have come, or Jibreel's call that will be heard, that would say that he has come, Haq is with him, says in the forthcoming Muharram, Imam will stand facing against the Kaaba. With the voice of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, he will raise 5 calls. What are they? Says, Ala ya ahl al-alam, ana al-imam al-qa'im, that O inhabitants of the earth, I am that imam who is qa'im. Or says, Ala ya ahl al-alam, ana al-samsam al-muntaqim, O inhabitants of the earth, I am that avenging sword. O ya ahl al-alam, inna jaddi al-Husayn qataluhu atshana. O inhabitants of the universe, indeed my grandfather Hussein was killed thirsty. Fourth call is that, ala ya ahl al-alam, inna jaddi al-Husayn tarahuhu udwana. Indeed, my grandfather Hussein was abandoned, uncovered. The fifth call says, Ala ya ahl al-alam, inna jaddi al-Hussein sahaquhu udwana. O inhabitants of the universe, indeed, my grandfather Hussein was stampeded with hatred. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, on this night of Qadr, forgive us. correct all the wrong in us. All those who have requested for whatsoever hajat and du'as, grant them. All those who are in an ailing, for their shifa. All those who have passed away, for their ranks to be elevated. All the girls and the boys who are in search of spouses, for them to be granted. Spouses having problems, for them to be corrected. Children to be loving and caring to their parents. The same with the parents towards the children. Children to be enlisted among the best supporters of the Imam of time. We to be enlisted among the best Muslims who ever existed. O Allah, the Eidi of tonight and the Eidi of this sacred month of Ramadan be the return of the Messiah, of the Imam of time. May the souls of every person be sacrificed to the dust of the feet of the Imam of time. Ya Allah, بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 لأرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات الفاتحة مع السلوات.